You be seated. We move forth on the second tier of a long journey as we espouse the doctrinal teachings of eternal actualization of all things, and more specifically, the most important thing, our salvation in eternity.
Amen.
I've handed out to you the document, Scripture Distinctions of Actualization in Eternity from Manifestation in Time. Everybody repeat, Scripture Distinctions of Actualization in Eternity from Manifestation in Time. What we're talking about is to bring us to an awareness that everything that's going on in this world is running the script and course as ordered by God. No, there's nothing that is going on out here that is out of control.
Nothing.
I heard that expression several times this week, and watching the news of the fire in California, they were saying it's out of control, out of control, out of control. Amen. Well, it was out of control to men, but it was fully in control of God. Amen. It couldn't have even started except God ordained it. Now, there are those who are going to fight and militate against this and said, no, God didn't have anything to do with it. The tsunami that came along and killed 250,000 people in Asia a few years ago, the catastrophe in New Orleans and Mississippi, of the tornado coming, of the hurricane, I should say, coming through and devastating everything. No, God didn't have anything to do with it. Even some of our top ministers in the country went in to Virginia Tech and told the students, no, God didn't have anything to do. The devil did it. Amen. Which is basically to say, amen, the devil's out of control and God can't control it.
Come on with it.
And the devil is absolutely the instigator.
Yeah.
That's what he was created and designed and to do.
That's right.
Amen. So he's absolutely the instigator. Mm-hmm. Amen. But who gave the instigator the power?
God.
When we go into Job, we see God telling the devil, Satan, whatever name you want to fix to him, you can do this to Job.
Yeah.
Amen. And that to Job.
Yeah.
But you cannot do what?
Take his life.
You can't take his life. So God put limitations on what he could do.
Right.
Which means that he is in control.
That's right.
It is very frightening proposition, a postulation, to say that there are things going on out here and God has nothing to do with it.
Right.
I would rather think that God ordered it for a purpose. And more important, this is what the scripture teach us, and this is why we're going through this, than to say that God had nothing to do with it. Amen. If God, amen, is limited to controlling some things, and he has no control on other things, we're in big trouble this morning.
Big trouble.
We're in big time trouble this morning. No. Amen. The storms, the winds, they've got it going right. They call them acts of God. You mean God brought the fire that destroyed some 1,300 homes in California this week? Yeah, yes. Well, why would he do this? Was he punishing them? No. If God, and that's the other thing, when they ask the question specifically, why did God allow the planes to run into Twin Towers and kill 3,000 people? And yes, all of these questions, there's always, you know, somebody's going to come along with some explanation. You see, we took prayer out of schools. And you know, and we passed the laws for abortion, and we did it. And it's the kind of stuff you hear, you know, and God just got fed up.
Oh, man.
So what you're saying is mankind has been evil for all of the centuries that he's been on earth, and God just not getting fed up? See how crazy that it is?
Huh?
If God punished us for our sins, we'd all be wiped out. We'd all be dead. Been dead a long time ago. No, that doesn't work that way. Amen. God works things out according to his eternal plan and purpose. Our problem is we're focusing on the earth. Follow me for a second. We live in a galaxy that's called the what?
Milky Way.
How many stars in that galaxy?
Billions
of stars in that galaxy. And numerous, countless solar systems. And the sun and the sun's entourage, which are the planets, including the one that we live on, is just one. It's a little dot in the Milky Way. And then in this solar system, the earth really has no distinction. It's not the biggest planet. It's not the brightest planet. It's not the greatest planet. Amen. And so then why are we on it? Because that's the way God works. He takes the most infinitesimal thing. In this case, Earth. So now when you look at the Milky Way, and if the solar system is a dot, then the Earth must be what? Infinitesimal. Now, nobody argues with the fact that everything that's going on out there in the universe, in the galaxies, that God is working and controlling that and moving. I guess we give God credit for that, you know.
Come on.
In the solar system, it's God. He's the one that makes the sun shine. And he's the one that, you know, that calls the gravitational pull and everything, and has arranged the stars, the earth, and everything. And so we give God for everything. So far, so good, right?
Yeah.
Then when we get to earth, we're in control. Is that crazy? Just like you can't control anything in the Milky Way or in the solar system, you don't control anything on this earth. God's, amen, he is the architect, designer, controller of everything that's going on.
I hear you.
A fly doesn't wiggle its left wing unless God orders it. And if a leaf falls from a tree in the forest, even if no man knows it or noticed it, it doesn't matter. Amen. It happened because God ordered it. And when we come to realize that God is in control, and that God has ordered all things, then if we can have confidence in him, it will alleviate some of the fear and doubt.
That's right.
And I'm speaking to God's people this morning.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Get off of this wagon of free will. You have a free will to be depraved and sinful because that's what you were born.
Yes. That's it.
Anything that runs opposite that, God has to intervene. Now, most of us had a pretty good morning. You're sitting here and I see some smiles, and you had a peaceful morning. You know why? Because God is busy. If God was to fold his hands, and his arms, I'm just using that for most terms, and did nothing in a depraved creation, all you have is complete chaos. We use the expression, things aren't going right. In a depraved creation, an environment, nothing is designed to go right. The only reason things go right is because God vetoes the things that normally would go wrong in a depraved and chaotic environment.
Yes. Yes.
And so God is busy.
Yes.
He is so busy until he gave you a good night's sleep last night. You weren't supposed to get it.
Man,
you weren't supposed to have it.
Nope.
And these are the things that we must understand. But our problem is Christendom has sold us a flawed bill of goods.
Yeah.
And our cogitation is, our thinking is flawed this morning because we're thinking things are supposed to go a certain way, and that's not the way it is.
Come on with it. Bring that out.
Man. So that thing went wrong. No, it didn't. It didn't go wrong. If I might use a colloquial term, it went right, like God ordered it. Most of us think that trusting God and having faith is trusting God to do what we want. That's not really trusting God. Trusting God is really trusting God to do what he wants to do. And what he has ordered. And what he has decreed. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane gives us an example. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Not my will. But thine be done.
Yeah, will.
Your will, Lord.
That's right.
How many can trust God to do his will?
Thank God.
Instead of your will. And so when we pray, we're afraid to say, Lord, your will, because we're afraid of what God's will is.
Yeah, that's it.
But don't be afraid of God's will.
Yeah.
But why not? Because he has already demonstrated his love for you and that he saved you.
Yep. Yep.
You see, the bottom line with us is what happens here on earth. The bottom line with God is what he has decreed and brought to pass in eternity. And we think, we have agendas.
Yes,
and the problem is, we don't really have an agenda. You say, well, yes, I do. Then why is it interrupted so much if you have an agenda? How many things do you set out to do that you don't do? That thing get changed around. Huh? I've started out with certain things to do on a certain day, what you call a to-do list. Didn't get any of it done. Huh? So I'm saying all this to bring us into understanding what this document is all about. Now, this is part one of, there are 10 parts, and for those that are listening to this message, on the website, as you go into www.gracegospelministry.com, all of our messages are there, including this one, by 4 o'clock or 4:30, this message will be up on the internet. And you can hear the entire message. Every message that is preached here is going back to 2003, I think, or 2004 maybe. It's free of charge, without selling anything. Amen. You just go there, you hit the icon, and if you got a speaker hooked up to your computer and the right program in there, Windows or something, you hear the entire message. And while you're in there, you will see a little icon there. You hit it, and up pops this entire document. Now, this is part one of 10 parts. The whole document is some 300 and some pages long. I'm giving you part one, which is some 29 or 30 pages. We shall be ministering from this for the next year and a half. So why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Because we want to learn to look at things not from the earthly plateau of where you're standing, but from the heavenly plateau of where God, amen, has worked all of this out in eternity. You know, there are three types of views. One is called a gnat's eye view. You're on the ground, and boy, that's the worst view because you're looking up at everything. And so everything looks like it's just closing in on you. Then the next one is the horizontal view, where you're standing, and this is where most of us are, we're looking at things from the horizontal plane. The things that are around us, we're looking. But you know the problem with that? If something walks into the line of sight, and you're looking for joy, and trials and tribulation walks in front of it, the joy is still there, but you can't see it because the trials and tribulations are standing in front of it.
Right.
But oh, if you go up into the eternal, amen, oh my God, plane of where God is,
yes,
you're looking down and you get to see what is called a bird's eye view. And from there, you see it all. Amen. And you see the trials, you see the vicissitudes of life,
yes,
you see all of these things, but also as you're looking down, you see the joy,
yes,
you see the peace.
Yes.
You all hear me this morning.
Yes, amen. Praise it. Amen. Thank God. Amen.
And then you get the understanding that these things are here for a period.
That's right. That's all.
For a little while.
And if you understand that, as you're going through things, you know that, amen, oh my God, all troubles and trials may come for a period. Hey, trouble may rage for the night, but joy, can you say joy? Can you say joy? Joy comes in the morning. But you're not going to get that.
Thank God.
Amen. Because you're looking at what's happening on a certain date and a certain situation at a certain time. Amen. Oh my God. And whatever that situation is, you know the catastrophe of it. Amen. Right then, that has your mind captivated. To the end, and where you're frustrated. Men of God, people walk around here frustrated this morning. Because you see some situation, but just as that situation comes, it goes. It comes to pass.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Oh, folk used to sing the song, I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Huh? Hallelujah. If some of you sitting here this morning, you can think back. You were in some scrape and you thought that thing was going to kill you.
Yeah.
But you hear this, brother, aren't you here?
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, they're embarrassed. But no, you're here.
Yeah.
You're here.
Amen.
God brought you through.
Amen.
And we have short memories.
Yeah.
He takes us through something. He brings us out. And then when we get into the next scrape, we forget all about what he's already done.
Yeah.
Our memories are short.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
But what will help you is when we deal with the aspect that God has actualized
all things
in eternity.
That's right.
And time is but the manifestation of what God has already, ordained.
Yes.
No, God does not make daily decisions.
No, sir.
God doesn't make daily decisions.
Amen.
We make daily decisions, so we think we do.
Yes.
But God doesn't make daily decisions. That would be an infringement upon his omniscience to say he makes daily decisions. You know what a decision is? What is a decision? A decision basically is a new idea. Whether I'm going to the right or going to the left, it's a new idea. Say, God doesn't have new ideas? No. That would say that there's something that's not yet fulfilled in him for him to have a new idea.
That's right.
So these are the things we must understand. Now, go to the second page there. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Now you see the Greek script in there. So, Pastor, why are you always putting the Greek there? All right, let me stop for a second.
All right.
We have translations, and I'm seeing denominational organizations debate which translation to use. Some say I like the King James. Others say I like the NIV. Say, well, which one should we use? Someone asked me, so which one do you use? I say, use all of them and none of them. What are you talking about? We have available to us the same copies of the Codexes and Papyri that they had. In other words, the 1611 translators of the King James Bible had these copies of the Greek manuscripts. Remember now, the Old Testament is what? Written in Hebrew. The New Testament is what?
Greek.
And so they had the same, we have the same material that they had. Said they, except also they used the Vulgate and other things. We won't get into that this morning. And sometimes the translations differ. So what are you going to do if the King James reads one way and the Living Word reads another? And that happens.
Oh, yeah.
We've done the illustrations of that.
Yes.
I remember in one of our earlier seminars that we had, Deacon Hughes did a very good job of showing the differences in the translations.
Right.
So which one are you going to go with? You see, many of us, we think Bible study is reading commentaries. I'm not saying don't read the commentaries. You pick up a Matthew Henry, you pick up a Weiss. I'm using some of the theologians. Some of you might not be familiar with some of them, you know. Even the seminary that I'm associated with in Oregon, Dr. Campbell's commentaries. I told the ministers, you read, but don't take that thing. No, no. We exegete. What's exegete? That we interpret according to the rules of scrutinizing or looking at the Word of God in three aspects.
That's right.
The first one is historical. Where are you reading from? I was talking to the youth, the senior class this morning. I talked to youth class this morning in Sunday Bible school, and I was just telling them, you know, you're in the Old Testament. God's not talking to you. Otherwise, why are we here today on Sunday and not the Sabbath, which was yesterday? So historically, you know where you're reading. That tells you something. Then the second thing is contextualize. Don't grab one verse of the Bible, and some people say, the Bible said this, and the Bible said that. The Bible can say a whole lot of things that you kind of make it say, especially if you're going to take one verse, or even part of one verse. Some people take one part of one verse and run with it. As I'm saying to you, that's like walking up in the middle of a conversation, you hear one sentence, a part of a sentence, and you go to blind and da-da, everybody in the group looked at you and said, that's not what we're talking about. So you have to take the entire context of what you just said. And this is where that's the illustration we were doing this morning, reading the pastor's pen, and I hope you take those back and look at those, because some scriptures we quote, we misquote simply because we grab one verse and it's talking about one thing, and here we are broadcasting that is another. And then the third mode of scrutiny is the grammar.
Right.
And so, if the Greek scripting is available to us as it was to them, why not go to it? That way, you don't have to depend upon the Living Word. You don't have to depend upon King James. You don't have to absolutely, you don't have to depend upon that NIV.
Right.
Because you want to know what the Bible actually teaches, not what they say it says. And this is why a lot of people say the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. So we must look at these. Now, long explanation. I do this, amen, because somehow invariably we have to defend the fact that we approach this the Word of God on a methodical basis.
Right.
So now, why don't you just tell us what it is? You don't want me telling you what something is. That's the problem now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I sit on the Pastor Colbert for 31 years. I cannot remember not one time him telling me what something was. He always showed me. And so this is what we're doing. We take, amen, the time to lay it out, analyze it, and not tell you, but show you.
Amen.
According to the Word of God.
Amen.
Because if you don't get anything else right in life, you must get this thing of what God has said and what God has done right.
Amen.
You can mess up any other information out there and it will not be nowhere near as devastating when you mess the Word of God up.
Amen.
A lot of people are messed up because they got the Word of God messed up in their minds. A lot of people doing a whole lot of crazy things out here. Amen. All right. In the Greek manuscript there, in the Greek script in there, we have Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Turn to it. Who is our designated reader? Elder Nicholson is our designated reader this morning. Amen. We have first the Greek manuscript there, and then we have the Greek scripting, I should say, of that which is taken from the Greek manuscript. And then we have what we call the literal English translation. And when we say that, we have, and we have passed out here to many of you, you have what we call the interlinear Greek Bible. Now, it's not perfect, but it has the Greek scripting, and under each Greek word,
right,
you have the English word.
Right.
Now, the advantage of that is,
come on,
the one who is doing the translate, he doesn't have the leeway,
yep,
to editorialize.
There's
been too much editorializing.
Too much. Amen.
In the translations.
Amen.
And if the Greek word is not there, you can't put an English word there. And I know the King James, they in many instances, they italicize the word and let you know that that word wasn't in the Greek scripture. They're putting it there in order to explain it, to make it clear. And most of the time, they're messing it up. All right? Elder, read that. Everybody got it? Say amen. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 16.
King James.
Yeah, start with the King James.
For by him...
Wait a minute, I hear pages. And so, we got to get this thing straight. If we ever get this thing straight, if you ever get this thing straight, then your life will be 100% better. I noticed I didn't say that the things in life that you want are going to get better. I said your life will be better.
Yeah. Thank God. Make it plain.
We're not going to stand up here and tell you five ways to do nothing.
Nothing.
As though there's some prescription for you getting what you want. You know, these are the buttons you push, and, you know, God is like you type in and... And one fellow say you type in what you want, and if you put in the right thing, boop, out comes what you want. That's crazy. That's crazy. You know, there's no prescription. You know why? Because God has ordered this thing, and God is working this thing, and what he has for you, he doesn't have for me.
That's it, yes.
And what he has for me, he doesn't have for you.
Amen.
They say, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. No. What's good, what may work for one goose might kill the gander. No, you don't.
That's
No, you don't. That thing is going to work out the way God has devised it and designed it. We've got to get it through our heads. God is in control. That thing might not, if it does not work in the way that we think it should work, first thing we think is God is not in control. No, God is in control. He said, but then I don't understand how and why God would do something. Now there you are with your brains that knows nothing, trying to figure out, amen, the Creator who knows everything. This is why we walk by what?
Faith.
And not by what?
Sight.
You know, I hear God's people say that. We don't really mean that. No, we don't. You know, we don't really mean that.
Amen.
See, we go by what we think we see.
Yes.
And many times what you think you see is not what you see.
Amen.
You can't trust your 2020. In my case, 2030. You can't trust that.
Amen.
If there's a difference between what you see and what God said, which is it?
What God
said. God
says.
Regardless of what you think you see.
That's right.
You believe God anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Elder, you got that? All right, everybody got to say amen. All right, read it first from the King James.
King James Version. For by him.
All right.
For all.
Got a pen, and got a Bible, got a pen. Mark that by up. It's not there. Greek word is in. It's eteni. Using modern Greek pronunciation, it's eteni, in. So things are not, see, we think about something being by him.
Come on.
We think of something being remote.
Right. Yeah.
We think of something outside of God.
Yep.
You say, that's by him, that means that's detached from him. So all things are not by him, all things are in him.
Yeah. Yes.
Read.
Because for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and are in earth.
See that? Mark that in up. We'll see in a minute. That's not in. That's not in earth. That's what? Upon the earth.
Amen.
Upon the earth. So what difference does it make? It makes all the difference. All things were created in the heavens, in Christ. He's saying, and that which is on the earth was created in the heavens in Christ.
Glory to God.
Isn't that crazy? Did we just get through talking about the earth being this little speckle? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he created all of everything, and then he creates earth separately.
Mm-hmm.
No. Everything that is on the earth, upon the earth, was created in heavens. And the heavens, where the heavens? Ephesians 1 and 3?
In Christ.
So everything is in him.
In God.
Not by him, or from him, or away from him. And this is what messes us up when we get so, oh my God, if God could just help us to see, amen, and put our trust in God, he knows what he's doing. He's not working it out the way I want it to work out, but I trust you, Lord. You know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
How don't you think the one that has made everything and everything is in him, the omniscient one, would you rather for it to be in your hand or his hand? Huh? Why? Because he knows, right?
Yeah.
We go out to the airport, we get on the airplane, and we do what? We sit down, and there's a pilot up there. Now, I think most of you in there love me. But I don't think you will be on a plane and I'm sitting up in the pilot seat. No. No. God knows what he's doing. Everybody say God knows what he's doing.
God knows what he's doing.
All right. Read.
Whether they be thrones or dominions,
mm-hmm.
or principalities,
uh-huh.
or powers.
Uh-huh.
All things were created by him and for him.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
Because in him were created all things.
In him, you see that? You see the difference? He's reading now from the Greek manuscript, from the Greek translation that is having to follow the Greek scripting.
Right.
And so now you're gonna get something else. You're not going to get what the translator is saying. He's having to follow what the Greek scripting is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when it gets to the Greek word in, he's got to put in there. So it's in him what?
Amen. We're created all things. In the heavens and on the earth.
And on up of the things that are on the earth was created in the heavens. That's what he's saying. Read.
The visible
mm-hmm.
and the invisible.
Visible, invisible, what else?
Whether thrones. Or lordships.
Or lordships.
Or rulers.
Mm-hmm.
Or authorities.
Mm-hmm.
All things. Through him
mm-hmm.
and for him have been created.
So everything that haven't been created, or everything that is created was for him, mm-hmm. is to him, mm-hmm. and for him. Mm-hmm. To him,
yep.
and for him. See, we think the things of life. It's to us and for us. No, it's not. Most of us think of ourselves as standing in the nucleus, and God is on the periphery,
right.
and he is an accommodator.
Mm-hmm.
All we can't do, God takes over and does for us. Isn't that crazy? No, he's in the nucleus.
He is.
Here it's telling us it's to him and for him, for his purpose, to him, for him, and now we are thinking it's to us and for us.
Amen.
It says him.
Yes,
in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that everything that God did, he did it to please himself.
Right.
He did it for his purpose.
That's right.
He did it because this is what he wanted to do it to do, and it pleased him to do it, even saving you. I can't figure it out, amen. I speak for myself, amen. How he could please God to save me. Boy, I'm glad he did.
Right. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.
So it's for him.
Thank God.
Now, when you understand this verse, you see God is the nucleus, and everything's revolving around God.
Right. Amen.
And it may not be. It may not be the thing that we want.
There you go.
It may not be the thing that we like.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather things go down a different way than they go down sometimes. See? And see what the ministry does, it teaches, tells the people, oh, you just stick in there. God's going to change that thing. Well, he might, but then he might not.
He might.
You pray for a thing to get better and it gets worse. Now you're frustrated. And what you should have been praying is for his will to be done.
Amen. Glory to God.
I know that's not what we've been taught.
No.
Said God's going to heal you. Remember Apostle Paul? 3 times he goes to the Lord and he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Oh, where Paul leave that thing alone? He never did remove that affliction from Paul.
Never.
And Paul, amen, after Paul got the message, he never prayed for that thing. Some people are going to church, getting in the same prayer line, amen, praying for the same ailment, that by now you should know that God's not going to move it.
Amen.
So God didn't answer my prayer. Yes, he did. He said no. But that's not what we want to hear.
That's it.
This is about God.
Mm-hmm.
Not about us.
Amen.
Everybody said for him.
And
to him.
And to him.
It's all about him.
Mm-hmm.
Not about us. God is all important. We are nothing without him. On Mars Hill in Acts Paul spoke to those Athenians, and he told them, he said, in him we do what? We live. In him.
That's right.
In him.
That's right.
In him we live. We move.
Ooh.
We have our being.
Where?
In him. It's about him. It's not about you. Oh, God, help us to get out of the way, amen, and focus on his will and his pleasure instead of what we want. Might not be a good message for some because, hey, I didn't want to hear that. You don't want to hear truth. You want to hear, you keep on, you just keep on, and you don't get that promotion on your job. You're allowed to get fired. Now you're all frustrated, mad, upset with God, upset with yourself. Huh? Is one way supposed to petition? Yeah, you can petition God, but don't you ever petition God, amen, without ending that petition, Lord, your will is done.
Amen.
Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Your will is done.
Yes, Lord, your will. Amen.
Your will is done. God's will.
Thank God, yes.
What is God's will worth to you?
Amen.
Can you be happy if God's will is being done?
Yes.
Even if it runs counter to your will.
Right.
Huh? You say you love him. You say, oh man, I never, this is a crazy message. No, we're telling the truth. And sometimes the truth is not too attractive.
That's
it. Huh? But we've been fed.
Yeah, mercy.
What we've been fed. You know what we've been fed?
I hear you.
We've been fed a flawed bill of goods from Christendom.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
Giving you all these empty promises. Mm-hmm. And that's why so many of God's people are frustrated and happy this morning.
Mm-hmm. Man.
God's people are not happy campers.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
That's right.
Man.
Because we think that things go one way and I'm not on it the way I want it, and I'm not going to be happy unless it's that way. And you see, if God has not laid that out for your course.
That's right.
He said, well, my friend over here, look at him. She's doing well. You say, God blessing him. And the song said, what he's done for us, that's a song. What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter loveth me.
Come on.
He said, Peter, when you get old, they're going to lead you around. He said, Peter, look up there and say, hey, you know, what about John? He's always hanging around you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Jesus said, what about John?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? And John lived to be 90-some years old.
Yep, sure did.
He was marooned and stranded on the island, but he died a peaceful death.
Sure did.
James was hung. Peter hung upside down.
Right.
Paul beheaded.
Right.
Is that to say that God loved John more than he loved Peter, James, and Paul? No!
Yeah.
Paul said, I gladly suffer for him.
Yeah.
Paul said, it's a privilege to suffer for him.
Glory to God.
Oh, yeah, they don't tell you about that. They're going to go and tell you about Abraham and how much stuff he had and so forth and so on. And, you know,
man,
you know, they don't talk about Paul. Huh?
Bring it out, Pastor. Bring it out.
In the 8th chapter of Romans and in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul, you know, speaks about being in troubles. Put down by his brethren, put down, you know, turmoils and all the trials and all the things he suffered. And one time he writes and said, to this very hour I'm hungry.
Amen.
And thirsty.
Amen.
One thing to be hard. It's bad enough you go out of food, he would go out of water.
Oh,
yeah. I don't tell you about that by Paul.
No,
you would think, if you would go by the way they're teaching this thing, you would think God didn't love Paul.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you he did, because he gave him the revelation of the mystery.
Yeah. Yeah.
That which was hidden from ages.
Amen.
It didn't reveal it to nobody else. He gave it to Paul.
Amen. Amen.
Whole dispensation.
Yes, he did.
Amen.
Thank God.
But he stripped him first.
Yep.
He
stripped him.
Yep.
On the way to Damascus, Paul was a rich man.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
He had worked himself up into the Sanhedrin, into a very, very high and lofty position.
Amen.
Oh, yes, he had.
Yes, he had.
Yes, he had. Huh? And even in his testimony, he said, I had prompted that I had risen higher than most of those in my ranks. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. Amen. But God stripped it. He took it all. And what did Paul have to say about the fact that God took it all? Did he say God had did something to him? Reverse it? Did he say, oh my goodness, I had my health until I met you, Jesus. I had money until I met you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Sure did. Tell the truth.
No! What did Paul say? Mm-hmm. He said, amen, for that which I lost, I count it for dung. You know what dung is. Amen. I count it for dung. I count it for trash. I count it for garbage, for the excellency of the body of Christ. What we're doing is we're not understanding. We're not understanding. We're not understanding. Because we're focused on ourselves. Most of the ministry is focusing on the individual.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
The focus cannot be inward. The focus has to be outward. The focus cannot be on you.
No.
The focus has to be on Christ.
Yes.
On God.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Amen.
It's not about you.
Glory to God.
It's not about you.
Amen.
So Paul goes all the way through life.
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
Mm-hmm.
He was the sickest man you ever want to see.
Mm-hmm.
One time he's laid up there in Galatia. So sick that they had to. He was bedridden.
Amen.
And not only Paul, all those that traveled with him.
Yep.
I'm telling you, brothers.
Yeah.
Amen. You touch this word, you're not going to get a free ride.
No.
One time he had to leave one of his companions because he was too sick to bring him.
Sure
said,
well,
my God, Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
That's right.
Why didn't Paul just pull off a piece of cloth and handkerchief as he did earlier and pray for him and heal the man?
Yeah, yeah.
You see,
yeah. Why didn't he do it then? That's right.
We still don't get it.
We don't get it.
We still don't get it. That wasn't Paul. It wasn't Paul. The healing didn't come through Paul. We still don't get it.
Amen.
Huh? He could heal himself.
That's right. That's right.
Well, he didn't heal those all folk either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Lord did.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I'm trying. Lord, help. It's not us. It's not us. Let me read two paragraphs here, and then I'm a bail out for the day. You know, I'm not long winded like these brothers. Let's go to page where it says introduction. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I guess I didn't number the pages. Introduction. Everybody got to say amen. Look at the bottom. Where it says sadly, the last paragraph. Everybody got that? All right, give me 5 minutes. Give me 6 minutes. Sadly, Orthodox Christendom is dominated by those more concerned about the things in time rather than in eternity. In this regard, their thinking or cogitation is flawed due to their lack of comprehension that the greater understanding God's people have concerning eternal verities, that's the quality of being true or real, the better equipped They will be, and Paul uses this word, as agorazomene, which is rendered redeeming. So the better they will be in redeeming, are making the best use of the time entities. In other words, if you understand the eternal aspect of this, it'll help you to deal with things in time. In this regard, the bottom line inquiry of the matter is, are things effectuated in the vein of realism on the basis of what mankind sees or on what God says? The obvious answer is formed by convictions and concerns that are shaped by spiritual comprehensions. As is so often the case, there are some problems incurred in prioritizing the unseen over the seen. Of course, there's nothing wrong in itself with what is seen, as long as such is properly assessed as temporary.
That's right.
Everybody say temporary.
Temporary.
Otherwise, these dependencies are unreliable in their securest sense. But the greatest problem that is encountered in misguided concepts of security is that such exudes a false sense, and we do this, of identification with the resonation to what is visible, while mostly exhibiting denial of what is non-visible. What is visible, we think that's it. What is visible is physical. What is invisible is spiritual.
Right.
Now, what's more real, that which is physical or that which is spiritual? I end with this. Paul writes to the Corinthians, I think around the 4th chapter, 18th verse, he draws a line of distinction between the spiritual and the physical. He calls, the first unseen, and he calls the second seen. That which is physical is seen. That which is spiritual is unseen. And then he tells the plight of each. The thing that is seen is temporary.
Temporary.
What does temporary mean?
Not long.
What does temporary mean?
Not long.
Not long. Everything that's physical is temporary.
That's right.
Everything that's physical is going to be done with.
That's right.
Your house, your job, your everything, your money, your everything, that's if those got some. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? That part of me is already past the not long status. In stark contrast, what does he say about the spiritual?
Spiritual.
Eternal.
Eternal.
You know what eternal means?
Yeah, without ending.
Without ending.
That's right.
Everlasting. So now, I see my time is gone. You got that which is physical, that's temporary. You got that which is spiritual, is eternal. Now, which one are you going to prioritize? And you would think that the Christian world,
you would think,
would look at that and say, hey, let's hang on to that which is going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we getting? What messages are we getting? Huh? Prosperity? You're dealing with perishable goods. That are evaporating with the using, according to the scriptures.
That's right.
You got it. But as you use it, you're using it up.
That's right.
And soon it's gone. So now, which are you going to prioritize? That which is forever? That which was going to come to a conclusion. A problem is we don't believe it. It's there, but we don't believe it. Even when we read it, we don't believe it. It says time will be no more. We don't believe that. The way these guys are building these kingdoms on earth, they don't believe it. What does the scripture mean when it says to wear this world as a loose garment? What's a loose garment? That's something that's, you're not clinging. That's the, you don't cling to the things of this world. You can hold them tight as you want to. They're going to evaporate right in your hand. If they're not rinsed out of your hand,
amen,
they're going to evaporate in your hand.
That's it. Amen.
That's right. Thank God.
And we going.
But no, the things that are everlasting and eternal. And the same man, Apostle Paul, he says, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. Now we have to ask the question, what did Paul commit to him? A new house? No, because Paul didn't have one to commit to him. New car? I'm just paraphrasing because I'm trying to bring it down to where we are. Money in the bank?
Nope. Didn't have none.
Did Paul commit that to him?
Nope.
Did Paul commit anything physical to him?
No.
No, spiritual. Listen, God's people, you got the scriptures mixed up. You're going back in the Old Testament. You're talking about Abraham. If you're in the body of Christ, in the grace dispensation, God has not promised not one square inch of this earth to you.
None of it.
Our abode is not in the earth. That's Israel. Our abode in the heavens in Christ Jesus.
Right.
And so Paul said, I'm persuaded that he's able to God. That word means God. To God, that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. That when time is no more and all of the physicalities are gone. Amen. I am abiding in the everlasting arms. Leading. Can you say leading? Leading on the everlasting arm, safe and secure from all alarm, because our focus is on the everlasting aspect of what is spiritual rather than the fading intricacies of those things that are physical. We shall continue. God bless you.